You are listening to Dateline Washington on the Radio America Network. I'm Greg Corumbus. Thanks for being with us. My next guest in this edition is John Gizzi, political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. After a couple of weeks in sunny Arizona, John is still tan, but he's not as warm as he used to be since he's back here in D.C. John, good to have you with us.
Good to be here with red complexion and shivering combined.
Well, John, the big story of the week, of course, is the much-awaited vote in the House of Representatives on the major stimulus package. The final total was $819 billion. In the end, it passed, as everyone assumed that it would, but the big story is that not a single Republican voted for it, and 11 Democrats voted against it. So what's the tale of the tape here?
Well, the tale of the tape is, as the late Senator Everett Dirksen of Illinois used to say, a billion here, a billion there, and pretty soon we're talking about real money. Well, now we're talking about nearly a trillion here, and I think it's frightening a lot of people that after bailouts of financial institutions as well as the automakers, with unaccountability in the rescue TARP fund, and with the housing market still in turmoil, throwing another $819 billion at the economy is leading people to say, who's paying for all this? And in the process, it has reinvigorated the old Republican elixir of smaller government and more freedom. That's what the glue was that brought Republicans together, along with 11 Democrats to come into their side. No, they didn't win, and they didn't expect to, but Republicans won something more. They're on the road back to being the party of smaller government.
And John, of course, this has to be considered in the U.S. Senate, and by most accounts, it'll pass there as well and become law around the middle of February. But what do you expect from Senate Republicans?
Well, again, the rules of the Senate are much different, and a minority can affect things a lot differently. My guess is that the Senate will lead a fight, and it all depends. Are they going to have the Minnesota race resolved? Who will sit there? Will Democrats being held to 59 votes instead of 60 give Republicans a chance? I tend to believe, I wouldn't bet the farm, but I'd bet a few acres, that all of the Republicans in the Senate will unite against the stimulus package, and maybe they'll get a few Democrats and be able to stop it. In any event, I expect both houses of Congress to go to a conference and the package, if nothing else, to be a little bit smaller and more reasonable than the one that the House passed yesterday.
John, we've seen Barack Obama talk exclusively to congressional Republicans, even going to Capitol Hill to meet with them. Some believe that with all House Republicans saying no to the stimulus package, that that could scuttle an air of it, if not bipartisanship, at least friendliness. So what do you say is the impact of this vote on that dialogue?
Well, he knows the people he's facing, and he learned more from that vote than he did with dinner with Charles Krauthammer and George Will at Mr. Will's residence on January 19th, that's for sure. I do believe that after a while, Barack Obama, the competent Chicago Democratic pal that he is, will realize that just going back to Capitol Hill leads to a lot of nice lunches, maybe some dinner parties. But in the end, Karl Rove was right. You can pass what you want with 51 votes or 51% of the votes. And that's what Obama is going to do.
John, let's move on to a couple of other critical issues. Since we last spoken, we have seen the installation of the newest U.S. Senator, former Congresswoman Kirsten Gillibrand of New York. What do you make of that selection? What should we know about her?
It's driving the members of her own party a lot crazier than it's driving Republicans. Kirsten Gillibrand, a two-term member of Congress from the most Republican district in New York, one that includes Hudson Valley, is someone who comes from a Republican family. She herself was an intern with the last Republican senator from the Empire State, Alphonse D'Amato. She's for English as the official language. She's for empowering local law enforcement officials to enforce federal laws against illegal immigrants. And on top of it, she voted against the bailout package, and she has an excellent rating with the National Rifle Association. Overall, she's a lot more popular with Republicans and independents and upstate voters than she is with the limousine liberals in Manhattan. I expect she'll have a primary challenge next year.
John, a couple minutes left in our conversation, and today is the last throws for Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich. What do you make of his last-ditch media effort and surprise trip to the well of the state Senate in order to make a defense?
It reminded me of Hugo Chavez addressing the United Nations when he totally avoided the subject, rambled on. All he had to do was compare his opponents to the devil and make the sign of the cross to make it a Chavez imitation. Look, I've watched Rod Blagojevich's media defense going to the cameras and the national audience when he won't go and defend himself as anyone would in a court of law. And again, he refuses to address the charges, says that his defense will come out in his criminal trial, and goes back to the demagogic line about he's there to provide greater health benefits as well as keep taxes down and help the poor, which those who impeach him are somehow on the opposite side of. It's a very sad performance. Again, Hugo Chavez light.
John, last 30 seconds. We know you're out in Arizona. What did you learn out there politically?
Well, I found that as politicians in Washington talk about multi-billion-dollar stimulus package and spending more money to alleviate the economic disaster, one elected official is talking about more freedom. Arizona's new governor, Republican Jan Brewer, in fact, invoked the term freedom 17 times and said it was the name of her own stimulus package, freedom. She even quoted Lady Margaret Thatcher in her inaugural address, which I had the pleasure of watching. The governor said, quote, "We cannot budget our way to prosperity or tax our way there either." She said the time for making hard decisions and choices had come, and again, a quote, "There will be no time for gloom or further denial." Governor Brewer, unlike Governor Sarah Palin, is older. She's 64 at the twilight of her career. This is the end, but she's going out with a blast.
John, we'll follow that as well as all the other major stories we've just talked about. Thanks so much for being with us.
Tan rested and ready to watch Congress and get back to the press room. I'm John Gizzi on Capitol Hill.
John Gizzi is the political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. When we come back on Dateline Washington, part one of my interview with author and commentator Tony Blankley on his new book, American Grit. Stay with us.